and pray together this morning, brothers and sisters, in our beautiful house.
In this beautiful house we call our home, the Lord's house. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. That's our promise from who? Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, church. What a great prayer. I met some friends last night we haven't seen in a while. And we're going to try to get them to come to our church. My heart gets sad. He goes to a church and he said, I'm talking about being a pastor, and I've known him for years. And he said, I go to the church. He said, but there's something missing. He said, they sing, they do this, they talk about this, they talk about the things of the church, they talk about all the things the church is doing. He said, but they never get into the word. He said, I never get fed. The most important thing at this church service is what? The word of God. The music, the sound, everything else we're doing. If you have a school, a church will build a school, and they'll have this and they'll have that. That is so second to the word of God. And he was telling me that they go to this church and they don't get fed. And I said, you know, I just said, please come and see our family and see what we're doing here. We're preaching the word of God. Amen. People are hungry for what we're receiving. Amen. They're hungry for this. They are. They're hungry. And when I heard that, it just said, yeah, that's what's happening. Some places are getting caught up in the things. And the things instead of this. So I just wanted to share that with you. Why I'm so just wanting every week to say, preach the word. Get fired up. Get this church on fire for God. Because I don't want you to say that to somebody else. I want you to tell other people, yeah, we read the word of God in our church. We preach about God. There's no guilt in our church. Nobody's guilty of anything. We all stand together under his umbrella, under his blood. Do we have disagreements? Absolutely. Do we agree on everything all the time? No. But we come together and we build and we become stronger. Amen. Because we're not supposed to agree on everything, because we all have different ideas, but we're supposed to, every idea, use it for who? For God. And when that happens, we all get blessed. Hallelujah. Just that was, so I had to say that. Not going to tell you that. And the other thing, and I shouldn't even say this is terrible, but when we got to where we performed last night, it was a church, and they had just finished their service, and there must have been 200 cars in the parking lot. So I pulled in the back, and they started, and that parking lot was empty in about 90 seconds. I mean, it was gone. I said, not in our church. We get 200 cars outside, we're going to be here till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Nobody wants to leave. Read with me, church, Psalm 96. Oh, these first two words, this is for you. I'm sorry. You want to read from the Bible? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people.
The glory is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Give to the Lord, O families of the people, give to the Lord glory and strength.
Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his court.
Hallelujah. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously.
Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness.
Hallelujah. Psalm 96. That's a good one to read when you just want to read something about God and just tell you what to do. You want to be right with God. That's what you read. Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Woo. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord. I think the best testimony of God is the fact that we live here in this country where we can come here together openly. Amen. You can get in your car and drive and park right on the street, and people say, where are you going? Say, I'm going in that church. openly. And you can talk to people about your God openly. You can read his book. You can read this book openly. There are people in many, many nations right today, 2016, that will be killed for walking into a church. They're killed daily. Christians are murdered daily for having faith in God, for believing in Jesus. It doesn't hurt anybody else, yet they feel threatened. There are places where they have to hide. They have to hide this. They dare not talk about God to people in public. They dare not acclaim themselves to be Christian, or else they'll be crucified. Today, 2016, happening in the world. But because God has blessed you to be here in this country, you can park your car out there, take your Bible, walk into the church, say hi and greet everybody. Amen? With that freedom. So if you have that freedom, wouldn't it honor God and yourself to really love this God? If you have the freedom to tell other people about him, why are we holding back? We don't have any fear. If somebody doesn't want to hear the word of God, it doesn't. When you say God bless you, they don't want to hear it, just walk away. Nothing has been done. But you might save a soul by talking about God to somebody. And you have that freedom. You have his love inside of you. You have that desire to have other people have what you have. The testimony is we can tell other people about him. Now, if you start to talk to somebody about God and they don't receive it, walk away. Like I said, don't give something to somebody. All they're going to do is trample it and mock it. Because there's 9 other people that are waiting for somebody to say, hey, God has more. He has more. And you and I have that freedom. We have that freedom to just do as we please. So if we have that freedom, don't we have an extra responsibility to him who blessed us with that freedom? To tell more people about him. And in your life, and in your home, with your wife, with your husband, with your family, talk to them about God. Let them know at 15 years old, hey, God is ready to help you. He's got so many plans for you if you will just focus yourself on God. There's a commercial on TV, on the radio, there's a girl talking, and she said that she was in English class and was bullied, and she was in another class and was bullied. She said she's going and she's depressed. She goes to school and gets depressed because there's bullying and other things in all her classes. And I'm thinking, of course there is, because there's one thing missing in all of those classes. What is that? God. Of course it is. It makes sense, right? I'm not making this up. I heard that commercial and my heart was set, of course, because nobody is giving any child the good news. Everybody's talking about how much you weigh, how much hair you have, how much money you have, what kind of car you drive. And so you get depressed. And teenagers, they're so vulnerable to depression because nobody, the last 2 generations, what have we taken away? God. You can't bring your Bible to school. You can't say I pledge allegiance to the flag. You can't say a prayer before school. Now you can't even play football on a football field. The team can't even get together in the middle of the field, not bothering anybody else, and say a prayer because somebody else is offended. What are we doing to our children? You tell your children about God. You tell them. We have a young lady, and she is so smart. That's Cassie. We love her. She's not here. Roger and Brenda, they're not here today, but Cassie. And she is so smart. She is learning stuff that I don't need. Right, Gladys? She's learning things, and I laugh when she starts telling me what she's learning in the book. And I tell her, you know, God can help you. You need to know that God is ready to help you with your tests, with your studying, opening doors that people can't open. And sometimes I know that I got to keep knocking, Gladys. I got it because sometimes the door gets so jammed I can't open it up. But she'll get it if I keep telling her. She'll get it. If she'll understand if her mother and father keep telling her, hey, don't forget you're learning all this book stuff. While you're learning that, learn something about God in your life. Because it will give her the strength. Amen? It will give people strength when they're bullied. Say, I don't know who you are, but God says, I'm great. And God says he loves me. And so if God loves me and you don't, I'm going to choose God. Amen? That's the thing that's missing. I heard that commercial. I said to my wife, I said, that's what's missing. Of course she's depressed. And see, this is a commercial about bullying. And I said, well, you're not letting him in. How can you not expect the world to be evil like that? Amen? And it is like, it's hard like that. And it's hard for adults the same way. If you never had God, it's a new walk. You got to trust Him. Amen. We got to let Him in. Amen. You got to let Him in at home. Don't think it's too late because your kid's off to college. That's the best time. You just get them started up. Fire them up. Get them ready. Do something with them. Say, hey, look, God has more. With your husband, husbands and wives. How many husbands and wives? You guys ever disagree on anything? Take that as a yes. You disagree? No, Fred, I don't even want to know. Why is it a wise man that always said? Why wasn't it a wise woman that said nothing? Sometimes, if you just stop, you say, okay, there's a disagreement. And you say, okay, I got two choices. I can make this worse. And you know what I'm talking about. You two disagree with something. You say, I can make this worse. I can make it worse in 5 seconds, just letting my tongue get ahead of my brain. I can make this worse. Or I can do the hard thing. I can put my tongue in my mouth, shut my mouth, and just do what everything else I got to do, and just keep praying. And let God handle it. You know, it doesn't always fix the situation right away. But I'll tell you what, it starts to heal the situation. And once the situation is healed, then both people start thinking of it. And you know what happens a lot? Trust me, if you trust God, what happens a lot, Jackie, is you both end up apologizing to each other for something that neither one of you were wrong about. But you had a disagreement. See, and when you give it to God, so you have two choices with everything you do. You can give it to God or just run with it. And how many times have you can say to yourself, maybe this week, I could have made things worse like that. I could have made them worse. And I might have been right making them worse. I might have been right but what I said. Then you know what happens? Karen, then you feel bad about what you said. You might be right. But just, why did I say that? Because love doesn't say that. Love doesn't do that. Love heals. But the only love that heals is God. Amen? You got to have that inside of you. And so that's the testimony. With God, there's victory. Amen? With God, there's always more. With God, you speak in the Word of God, then somebody's going to get something good. Receive it. Give Him praise, church. That's His testimony. That's God in your life.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen.
Grant us thy peace. Give him
praise, church. Oh, there's more. I liked it. That was good, but a little tag there at the end. Praise God. How are you this morning?
Good.
Going to do something. This is the first time we've ever done. I'm going to read from the book of Revelation. Revelation it's a totally different book. Everybody said, oh, the book is written. Man writes the book. Men write all the books. Isaiah, the Old Testament. This book, Revelation, was given directly, listen, the words directly from who? God to John. John, this is so different. And this book, and I have to tell you, from all the studies, everything that I've read, if somebody tells you, church, that they understand the book of Revelation completely, I would simply just walk away. Because God made it so that understanding the book isn't what He... I mean, there's symbols, there's things, there's all about the book that you just won't understand. But there are things in this book that are so important to read, so important to know. Amen? Greg, you okay? Okay, you just get him home. We're all praying for you, my friend. The sacrifice, you see, he could have stayed home today and said, no, I don't feel good enough, but he came. He showed the sacrifice. So we thank you, Brother Greg, and you get home. Jackie, get him home. Take Denver, give the points.
Love you,
we love you, Greg. We love you, Jackie. The book of Revelation. God talking to John. Now you understand where this book, John is on the island of Patmos. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it's history. John was exiled. What was that word? Exiled. Why was he exiled to Patmos, and who exiled him? It was the Roman Empire. Say that with me. The Roman Empire. Rome? And you know why he was exiled? Because he wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. He wouldn't stop preaching about Jesus. He wouldn't stop teaching about Jesus. And they finally said, we're going to send you off to an island all by yourself, off the land so you cannot. He was exiled there because he would not stop talking about our Lord and Savior. And I want you to look it up, but it was against Roman law. Christianity was against the Roman law. Are you with me? You know, you're going to think about this. The emperors in Rome murdered Christians. Amen. Nero, I love this guy. I had to write his name out. After Nero was Titus Flavius Domitianus Augustus. Emperor Domitian. Domitian. And then there was Trajan after him. And this is about 60 years after Christ. It was continuing. And it went on for another 200 years. How many years? 200 years. They were crucifying who? Christians. Who was doing it? The Roman Empire. So John was sent to the island of Patmos because he wouldn't stop talking about him. Hallelujah. And I have to tell you, if you read your Bible or anybody likes history, and you read about what Nero and Titus Flavius Domitianus Augustus, what they did to the Christians, it makes what's going on in the Middle East look like a picnic. Some of the things that they did to people simply because they believed in Christ. Poured oil over them, tied them to stakes and used them as light. Lit them on fire and used them as lights along the walkways. That's what they did to Christians. They took Christians, threw them in a thing with dogs, wild dogs and animals, and let the dogs and the animals. And they stood there and watched what they did to Christians. For over 300 years after Christ, they did that. That's what was going on. That was going on in the world. That's not me making this up. Amen. That what was going. And if you look up your history, you won't stop reading, Gary, because it's beyond fascinating. It was horrible, but it was horrific. But it's to think of what these people were doing. Some of the emperors were actually a little. Some of them really didn't worry about the Christians. They were, but they had to do it because it was Roman law against Christianity. Hallelujah. Imagine that. It was against the Roman law. So, as we get started, you get an idea of Revelation, where it was written, why it was written. And there's some of the most beautiful. And if you've never read anything in Revelation, you're going to enjoy this. I've enjoyed reading it. And we're only going to go so far, but I hope you like it. And again, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. To who? John. Why John? You think of all the apostles who loved Jesus in a way that all the apostles saw that. The one whom Jesus loved. Amen. Not that everybody loved him anymore, but John wanted to be with him. John understood. John believed. Amen. John's heart was ready to receive. So the angel, God sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Understand this. John doesn't understand everything that God is showing him in the vision. Amen? He doesn't understand it, but God said to make sure you write it exactly as I tell you. The angel is going to give him a vision, and he's got a lot of time because he's exiled on an island. Amen? He doesn't have to go to work. He doesn't have to do anything. The angel has his time, so he can take his time. Now, this is the first promise. I'm only at Revelation 1:3, and this is the first promise to you. To who? You. Listen. Blessed. That means in a place of beautiful, in a place of favor. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. You are blessed for reading this word. The more you understand it, Sergio, blessed are you. And then he says, grace to you. What is grace? unmerited favor. You didn't earn it, but God gave it to you. Gave it to who?
Us.
Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. That's testimony to God. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne. That sounds complicated, Miss Pat. The word seven signifies completeness. So when they say the seven spirits, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is before the throne. The Holy Spirit is with God. The Holy Spirit is God. Hallelujah. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Here's your second promise. I'm only at 1:5, and this is your second promise. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let me read that again, because I'm talking about who? You. Annie, I'm talking about you. Listen to what he's saying. To Him, to Jesus, who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You say, Pastor, I'm a priest? Absolutely. I'm a king? Absolutely. In His eyes you are. Amen. That's why you should rejoice right now. He calls you a priest. That means you can testify to who? You can testify to God. God is saying, I'm not making this up. The angel of the Lord is telling John this. He made you, Gary, a king. Marcia, He made you a king. He made you a priest to be able to go and talk. And the note says this. This is great if you have these Bibles. But you qualify as a witness for Jesus. And here's why. Because of what He's done for you, not because of what you've done for Him. Isn't that something? Jesus died on that cross for you, not for what you did. It's for what He did for you. Amen? You never earned it. He did that freely. Behold, listen to this. He is coming with, and this is a prophecy. This is going to happen. Understand that this is going to happen. This is so beautiful. Behold, 1:7. Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye, how many eyes? Will see Him. Even they who pierced Him, the Roman soldier who pierced Him, he will see from wherever he is. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Why will they mourn? Why will they mourn? Because they were unbelievers. When the time comes and He comes back, if you are an unbeliever, what are you going to do? You're going to mourn. You're going to say, why didn't I believe? Here He comes. At the prophecy written in the book. And here He comes, and I didn't believe. Amen? How sad would that be to somebody? You'll see it. You'll see witnesses that didn't believe, and you'll see what happened. The Bible says so. Hallelujah. Listen to what God says. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I say that again. Who is, who was, and who is to come. Now listen, this is to you. I, John, he said, I, John. John is saying, me, I am both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. I was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why he was on the island, because he wouldn't stop talking about who? Hallelujah. The emperors wanted you to worship them. Emperor worship. That's what they wanted. That's all they wanted you. And the Christians would not worship them because they already worshiped their God. His name was Jesus. Amen. And that was it. And Jesus, and John's saying, listen, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. And what you see, he's telling John, listen to what he's saying. What you see, not what you understand. God doesn't care about what you understand, or even if John was ready to receive it. He's saying, what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia. And he names the seven churches. And then John says, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Brothers and sisters, if you have never read this, I'm about to give you an idea of what Jesus looks like. Right here. I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet. Imagine this garment, so beautiful, down to his feet. And John said he was girded around the chest with a golden band. said his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Imagine that. That's God. He's seeing God in his glory. Listen, it's so amazing. He said he was clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded around the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool and as white as snow, so pure, and his eyes like flame of fire. He had everything inside of him right there. Those eyes pierced right through you because he could see, and he's so powerful. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. This is what John could see. This is the way John spoke it, so we would understand. Amen. He's saying it in the way he sees it, so pure and simple. And he said his voice is the sound of many waters. His voice covered what John, his voice was just trumpeted out. His voice was so strong. Amen. It wasn't like loud, Dale. It was strong. When he spoke, it was like running by all the rushing water. It was God himself that John was looking at. And he wrote that down for who? Us. You read that. You don't understand the gold, and maybe you don't understand the brass and the white as well. But John didn't either. And he's telling you what he saw in his eyes, how glorified Jesus was. It gets better. Hallelujah. He had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Anybody know what a two-edged sword is? George, you know what a two-edged sword is. It cuts, God's word cuts to the marrow. It cuts through your body, cuts through your heart, into your body. It gets so deep inside of you. A two-edged sword. I mean, that word gets so deep inside of you. It cuts both ways. It cuts going in, going out. You feel it, and you give that love back out. You give that word out. He had his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Elder Pat, someday you're going to see that, Elder. Someday, you are such a servant, you're going to see that his face, his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. That's God. You wonder what God looks like, and John's telling us in Revelation what he's seeing. Hallelujah. And listen to this. This is our God. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And he said, I have the keys of Hades and of death. He said, write the things which you have seen and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. And then he said, this, the mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands. He said, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. And the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. Deacon Chuck, we talk about being a beacon to God. This is a lampstand. Amen. This church, Karen, is a lampstand. What do you mean? When you turn the lamp on, what happens in the room? It lights up. Amen. This church is a light. We turn this church on, and it's a light to the whole world. Amen. This is a lampstand. The 7 stars were the angels. And we pray all the time that angels surround our church. That's why I do. When we first moved into our house in Southbury, I must have walked around that house 12 times, each time praying a different prayer. Lord, the angels around our house. Lord, protect this house. I prayed that. And this is for our church. And I pray that angels are flying around our church. We can't see it. It sounds crazy, right? I'm crazy. You're absolutely right. I'm a fanatic for Jesus. I want to see the angels flying around our church, because we're a lampstand to who? Okay, now we're going to get to the 7 churches. I got a little more time. Understand. These are not churches like this church and like the church across the way. This is not a church. Why are you saying that? Why wasn't it a church? Because I told you, during the Roman Empire, what happened to people who worshiped God? They were killed. So there could not be one church like this, or else the Roman Empire would come, because it was against the law to preach the word of God. So these churches were more seven areas, Sergio. And if you look at a map, you'll see a map how they were all together, like in a triangle. And each church was an area. So it wasn't like he sent these letters to the church, but he was probably sending it to where they met. They either had to meet in cellars, in basements. They had to find places to read the word. Imagine that, Sergio. They had to go somewhere and hide and read the word of God. You can read the word of God on the green today. Praise the Lord. But so these churches weren't just seven buildings. Because obviously, again, like I told you, you remember where Revelation started, because we're being persecuted. So as he sent these letters out to these churches, you have to understand that that's not what it was, one building. They were groups of people who worshiped Jesus, who were coming together to meet, who were talking about Christians. Amen? So these seven churches. Now these seven churches had good and they had bad. And each one that you read, there's a little bit to each church. You will hear something of a good report, but then God telling the church to repent. What does repent mean? Stop, give your thanks, say, Lord, I'm sorry, and do better. Amen. Repent means to change. Amen. So you, when you read these seven letters to the seven churches, you understand that and every letter pertains to our church. Though every letter was to seven different churches, it was because of their failing that he said this, and their failing that he said this, and their failing that he said this, but it was all for one. Amen? If you're good at one thing and bad at another, God would come and say, hey, you need to fix this. And you'll go to somebody else's house, and they may be great at that, but they're bad at something else. And God will say, hey, you need to fix this. Are you with me? So when we read about them, when you hear about them, understand he's talking to us. And I'm just going to read a couple because I want you to understand. The first one, in Ephesus, he said, these things say to he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He says to this church, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. He's saying, I know that. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. What is that? That is praise. Amen. But now listen, nevertheless, he said, when God says nevertheless, you nevertheless. Amen. I have this against you, that you have left your first love. What does that mean? They stopped preaching the word of God. What's the first love of the church? God. They started getting into other things, making schools, worried about money, making sure you had this, all the other fine things in life. They started worrying about worldly things. Amen. And he told them, you need to repent because you have left your first love. That's why every Sunday I'm going to tell you we need to what? Preach the what? We need to be in unity. Amen. About who? God. Because that's what it said. They lost their first love. And he told them to repent. Or else, he said, I will come quickly and remove your lampstand. And we don't want that. Amen. I mean, I'm praying. So he writes, there's seven churches. Seven churches. Two more I want to read about. The church, if I can pray a church for us, this is the church. This church, it's called the Church of Philadelphia. Listen to what he says. These things says he who is holy and who is true. He who has the keys of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Amen. He has the key to open and shut the doors. And he said to this church, see, I know your works. And listen to what he said. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Church, listen to me. God has opened the door for Second Congregational. He has opened the door for us, and nobody can shut it. Nobody can stop people from coming into this church and hearing this word. He has said that. I set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength. You have a little strength and have kept my word. Kept my what? Hallelujah. And not have denied my name. Listen to that. And not have denied my name. And listen to what he said. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, Listen to what he said. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you because you have kept my commandment to preserve. Hallelujah. That's the promise I want for this church. Amen. That's the promise. He's opened the door for Second Congregational. He's opened the door for us. Nobody can shut it except us. If we stop preaching his what? Word. We stop talking to other people about Jesus, he will shut the door. If we start worrying about finances, we start worrying about having bingo, we start worrying about building a school, we start worrying about all these other things that is nice things to do, but not what we're taught to do in church. Amen. He can shut that door. But right now we are acting like that. He said we are little in strength, and that's true. Amen. I see other churches. Last night that church had over 200 people. Compared to us, we're little in strength, but that's just be compared to us. Compared to God, he has opened the door. Amen. Greater things he's done for us. Now listen to this last one. I'm sorry. We ain't got nowhere to go. This is the last church. There's seven of them, but I wanted to read this one to you. The Lacedonians. The Dacians, you know that? Dominic, some of these words just drive me to dream. I'll tell you what. I know your works. Now listen to this, church. And you can look around the world and see where this is going. He said, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. And God says, I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, the word of God, that may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God is saying all these things to the church, saying you're lukewarm, and he despises that. Why? Because you've gotten into the world. You don't care about the church as much anymore. You got the church, and you see people like that go to church all the time. Amen? They go to church and leave. What do they talk about? I don't know. What did you learn today? I don't know. What's the pastor doing? I don't know. They're lukewarm. They go to church and they leave because they're worried about where they're going to have lunch and whether they're going to get their car or what they're going to do this afternoon, what they're going to do tomorrow. Amen? And they're caring about how I'm dressed. Look at how that way that person's dressed. You understand what he's saying to that church? They have a door, but listen to this. This is it. He says, I rebuke and chasten those that I love. So he's saying, I love you, so I'm going to rebuke you. And then he says, if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, no, I'm sorry. And he said, I'm sorry. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Be zealous and what? And now here's one phrase I want you to understand when I've said this before. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I stand at the door and knock. Why would God have to knock at the door? Why would God, right, Marsha? Why would God have to knock at his house, his door? Because they have forgotten who? They've forgotten who, the main person. They've forgotten Jesus. They've got so wrapped up in all the bishops and all the things and all the glamour and all the glitz and everything. They forgot one thing, amen? They forgot to invite who? He's saying right there, I stand at the door and knock. Deacon Bill, that door better be open all the time. That door is open. But he's already here because he inhabits the praise of his people. Amen? Amen? We never want him to look at our church and say, hey, Pastor Larry, I stand at the door and knock. You remember me? We're growing, church, and there's going to be a lot of distractions. There's going to be a lot of different people with different hearts, and we need to be really tight in unity, but with God. Not with ourselves, but with God. If we stay in unity with God, all the other little issues will work themselves out. Amen? Are you with me? So in closing, if I pray that this church be great, what am I saying? Not this building. Amen? Not our beautiful cushions. Not our pews. This church is you, Elaine. Seth, This church is you. If I say, Chuck, that this church be great, it is you I'm talking about. I want you to be great in the Lord. A growing stronger, healing bodies, healing minds, amen? Being a so focused on God that you have to talk about God all the time. I wonder why I'm talking about him. Because he's right there, amen? If it's growing, if it's on fire for God, changing lives, healing hearts and minds, lifting spirits, it is you and it is me. That's the church that I want to see growing. Amen. And that's his testimony. Changing through faith and life. That is our victory. Give him praise, church. Give him praise. I don't ever want to think God has to knock on our door. Hallelujah. The lamb that was slain, he did for us. Though we didn't deserve, we didn't ask for it, he did it because he loved us first. The pure lamb that now sits at the right hand of his Father. And all he asks for us, with all that he gave us, is that we do this in remembrance of him. Whatever we do, however we do it today, it's in remembrance of Jesus. Hallelujah. Nice catch. Thank you, Lord. The lamb that was slain. The pure lamb. Hallelujah. Can that dove land on your shoulder this morning? Have you removed things in your life so the dove can land on your shoulder this morning? It starts with today. It starts with repent. It starts with asking God to remove the iniquities, forgiving you. Acknowledging him, acknowledging that you need him. Today is the day. Thank you, Lord. There's no greater time than now, because now is the time. Learn to let him lead you. Learn to hold back and let God fix. Learn not to hurt but to heal. Learn to love and not hate. Learn to give without receiving, and then you know how to truly give. Remember, love gives without asking anything in return. True love doesn't desire anything back when you give it. Thank you, Lord. He was the Lamb, God's only Son, pure, pure, the accepted sacrifice once for all. Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." Nothing left to do. And in this church, with open doors, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sorry, guys. With open doors, we do this in remembrance of Jesus, in Jesus' name. How important is the blood? It's everything. Because of his blood sacrifice, once for all, it covers you. You. When God looks down and sees, he sees the blood around you. He does not see the sin. He doesn't see that because you are his children, heirs to the kingdom. But he will call you to repent, and he will teach you, lead you, and sometimes correct you, but with love so that you can be stronger. That's what the blood represents. Your protection. His blood. The Lamb that was slain, the Son of God, the reason he came to this earth, to bring us back to him. The world will tell you you're wrong. You see, that's fine. Just expect the world to tell me that. Unbelievers will tell you that you're wrong. That's totally understandable. They're unbelievers. We can no longer let them dictate who we are and how we are and how we love. We can't let unbelievers dictate to the world what we stand for they know not. We must make a stand. Church had so much. It had wealth, all kind of prosperity in the world, that they forgot their first love. That Jesus had to come and knock at the door of his own house. Not here. Not today. I read from Revelation today. I only went from one three. You can look at that if you like tonight. Do some study if you like, a history study about what we talked about. But I just say to read that again with the vision of God when John saw him. And remember that John was writing down what he saw so that we could understand that someday you will see the glory. You will see Jesus in his glory. And you will not be able to just explain it with words because it will be so magnificently beautiful. But John tried to write it so that we can get it some kind of a glimpse as to who Jesus is, was, hallelujah, and will be. Huh. How'd that happen? That ain't even metal. You taught him how to do that. It's no little thing to be covered in the blood of Christ, amen? And all he asks is that we do this in remembrance of him until he returns, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise and give him just praise.